everybody. Question for you. Who said this? Somebody, God came to somebody and said his name, called his name in the Old Testament. I'll give you that much of a clue. And he said, "Behold, here I am." Maybe, but that's not the person I'm looking for. "Behold, here I am." Possibly, but not the person that I'm looking for that said these exact words. And maybe somebody else said these exact words. I don't know. God came to this man multiple times in his life. Turn with me to Genesis 22. This will tell us who said these words. And some of you guys may have been right. I don't know. I should have looked up if anybody else said these exact words. It was Abraham. And some, like I said, some of you guys may have been right. But it was Abraham that said, "Behold, here I am." Genesis 22, we'll read a few verses at a time here. Let's start reading at verse 1. "And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Let's stop reading there. So I love Abraham's response. God comes to Abraham, he says, "Abraham," and he says, "Behold, here I am." If God said one word to you, Joash, Nate, Victor, Junior, Noah, what would your response be? Would you even decipher that that was the voice of God? Some days maybe I'm too busy to even hear the voice of God. Too ran down with the cares of this life to even hear God's voice. But I love Abraham's response. "Behold, here I am." Like, what do you have for me, God? What do you want from me today? Abraham had learned to hear the voice of the shepherd. There had been other times in Abraham's life that God had come and spoke to him. He came to Abraham and said, "Hey, I want you to pack up and leave." I think he lived in Ur at that point. "I want you to pack up and leave. And go out in faith into a land that I will show you." Abram had a lot of practice in deciphering the voice of the shepherd. He had also promised him that he'll make of him a great nation. He'll give him a child and make a great nation out of him. Some of God's commands to Abraham were easy. Some were hard. I imagine packing up and leaving was a pretty hard command, especially when you don't even know where you're going. I imagine Abraham and Sarah not having children when God came and said, "You know what, I'm going to give you a son in your old age." I imagine that was a pretty exciting command. Like, hey, this is neat. But I'm imagining that this was probably the hardest command yet. And that was to offer up his only son, Isaac, upon the altar of sacrifice. Abraham had learned that simple obedience was always the best. Simple obedience. Just obey God. But we have to know the voice of the shepherd in order to practice simple obedience, or else we'll be easily led astray. I mean, really, could God be right? I mean, come on, this is the promised son. Like, what's God thinking? You know, could God be right? I mean, God has promised that out of this son will come a great nation. And God wants me to offer him up? What's God thinking? Just as a side note, my thoughts went to, you know, if we hold our children at arm's length from God and say, God, you know, I'm not willing to give you my children, my child. We're in a dangerous place, a very dangerous place. I was just kind of a side note, my mind went there, but I have dreams and ambitions for my little girl. But if we hold those above what God wants, we're in danger zone. Anyway, that was a side note, but let's keep reading. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Okay, let's stop reading there. I love the obedience of Abraham. It says he rose up early the next morning and started on this journey. Started on this journey that God had called him to. Simple obedience, simple faith, and a readiness to follow God at any cost. How many times have you made excuses in your life? I've made excuses in my life. Well, God, like seriously, God, why do I have to go to Mount Moriah? It was like, according to the commentators, it was like 50 miles over there. Like, why would I have to go to Mount Moriah? Can't I do this in my backyard? Like, what's so special about that place? Or God, my son? Why would I give my son to you? Seriously, God, what are you thinking? Like, I'll give you all my sheep or all my cattle. That'd be a pretty nice sacrifice to the Lord. But my son? No, that's not what Abraham said. I'm sure he faced some of these thoughts like this, probably. He was human, like all of us. But his ready obedience. He rose early in the morning and started his journey. I mean, think of this. It says he traveled on the third day. He saw the place afar off. 3 days of travel. He had to carry the wood, the fire. They didn't have these little propane torches, you know. I imagine he probably had to carry something with fire in it and keep it burning the whole way there. Possibly. I don't know. Had to carry the knife, provisions for the way, food, maybe food for the animals. I don't know. There was a lot that went into this. Besides the fact of the calling that he was going to do, and that was to slay his son, his only son. Yet his response was, Behold, here I am. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, I'll follow you no matter what the cost. So they travel for 3 days. I love verse 5. Abraham tells his young men, Abide ye here with the us, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Friends, could you worship in that situation? So Abraham said, we're going to go worship. Boy, I would find that a struggle. Worship? God's asking me to slay my son? How am I supposed to worship? Abraham's heart motive, Behold, here I am. Lord, you know best for me. Lord, you know what is right and good for me and my son, and I'm going to worship you anyway, even though I don't understand. You know, in life, we face hard things. How many people have faced hard things in your life? We all have. We all better get our hands up. How many people have faced some hard things this week? You know, possibly, maybe. Yeah. Did you find it easy to worship God? Sometimes it was a struggle. Sometimes it's a struggle in life. But it has to be settled in our mind. It has to be settled in our mind that God knows best for my life. And God, I'm going to worship you no matter what. No matter what. Maybe God's asking us to, you know, in a sense, to slay one of our children. He's not going to ask us to kill our kids. I'm not saying that. But, you know, something really hard for us in life. But God knows best. And God deserves our worship in every circumstance, no matter what. I love Abraham's, I don't know what was going through Abraham's thoughts, and maybe I'm reading too far into this, but the end of verse 5 says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. To me, that verse is saying that I and the lad are going to come again to you. I don't know what kind of faith he had or confidence, but he believed, whether I have to slay this son or not, God will raise him up because this is the promised son. I don't know. I don't know what was going through his mind. But I love his confidence in God. Isaac then asked a very hard question. You know, Isaac had seen a lot of sacrifices in his life. Abraham was a holy man. He loved God, and he offered a lot of sacrifices. Isaac had seen a lot of offerings to the Lord, and he asked a very hard question. Abraham, father, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? I don't think the Bible tells us, but according to history, a lot of people believe that Isaac was probably in his 20s or 30s at this point. He was not a little kid. We don't know that. I don't think Scripture tells us. But that's the thought that a lot of commentators would have, that he was probably in his 20s to 30s at this point. He was not a little child. And he's asking, hey, Dad, where's the lamb? You know, we came up here to offer an offering to the Lord. And where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Sure, he was answering Isaac's question, I believe. But I believe it was also a prophecy of Jesus Christ himself. That God will provide himself a lamb. The Lamb of God that was coming somewhere in the future to take away the sin of the world. Trying to find my verse here. John 1:29 says, behold, this is what John said about Jesus Christ. He said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And I believe Abraham was making a prophecy of that. Another interesting fact about this story. Isaac carried the wood. It says in verse 6, that they laid the wood upon Isaac his son, and he carried it up the mountain. Who else carried some wood up a mountain or up a hill? Jesus Christ did. The precious Lamb of God, for a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin, and for the sin of the whole world. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, and it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So just imagine Abraham up there. He's building an altar. Can you imagine the weight on Abraham's heart? The heaviness? You ever had circumstances in life where you just feel that pressing heaviness in your heart? I have. I think we all have. I'm sure Abraham felt that. He was building an altar. He put the wood on the altar. He bound up his son. And we'll come back to Isaac. But can you imagine? Isaac had to be willing to be bound. If he's in his 20s and 30s, and Abraham's 120 or 130, you don't tell me that Isaac couldn't have got away from Abraham. Of course he could have. But we'll come back to Isaac then. But he put the wood, bound up his son, and was ready to slay him. I almost brought a big knife with me today, but I thought, well, I'll skip out on that. But he was ready to slay his son, his only son, Isaac. This is when Abraham can be really glad he knew the voice of the shepherd. Because the angel came and said, Abraham, Abraham. Had he missed that call, that would have been a very detrimental place to be in life. He would have slayed his son by missing the call of the shepherd. What was his response? Here am I. You know, Lord, there's nothing. This is a hard statement for me to say, okay? But this was Abraham's heart. There's nothing in life that you will ask me to do that's bigger than you will give me grace to go through it. There's nothing in life that's bigger, that's too big for me to say yes to, because you will carry me through. That's a hard thing to say in life. That's something I struggle and battle with to say. His answer was short and sweet, but there was nothing else he needed to say. Here I am. What do you have for me, God? What do you want from me? If God needed to get a hold of you today, could he get a hold of you? You ever tried to call somebody in life and you can't get a hold of them? You know the old landline phones? Beep, 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 beep. Ah, man. Phone's busy or out of service. Or you call somebody, you have reached the voicemail. I didn't want to reach your voicemail. I wanted to talk to you. People have had to do that for me too. I'm not judging anybody because of that. I'm just saying, we face that in life, right? Can't get a hold of somebody. If God had to get a hold of you today, could he get a hold of you? If God has something special for you to do today, can you hear his voice? And what will your answer be? Behold, here I am, or we'll see about that, you know? And we know the story of God's provision for a ram in the place of his son Isaac, and we're not going to spend time looking at that. But you know, back on the life of Isaac, Isaac was willing to get on the altar. I'm sure Abraham couldn't manhandle him onto the altar. I'm sure he didn't have enough strength to tie up his son and place him on the altar. Isaac had to surrender and allow this to happen in his life. And it makes me think of a verse, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you know, as long as Isaac would have kicked and screamed and fought, Abraham could not have done this. And does that make you think of anything in life? As long as we kick and scream and fight against God, we're in a miserable place in life. And there's no way that we can follow God full-heartedly. But you know what? There's one problem with a living sacrifice, okay? Isaac was a living sacrifice. There's one problem with a living sacrifice, and that's the potential to climb off the altar. Because God doesn't bind us up with ropes and keep us there. He doesn't tie our hands and our feet fast so we can't get off. He simply allows us to be there if we choose. But as a living sacrifice, we have the full opportunity to step off of the altar and to do our own thing and to miss out on what God is actually calling us to do in life. You ever think you got it figured out in life? Got this conquered? You know, and that's a good feeling in life when we conquer things. I'm not saying that, but we got this conquered, man. This thing that's been weighing me down, I've got this conquered in life. I'm growing. And you ever find yourself the next day stepping back off the altar? Because we're a living sacrifice, and we have the opportunity to step off, and we have to repent again and say, God, I'll climb back on the altar. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I failed you again. Well, Or is our answer, behold, here I am. Behold, Lord, there's nothing too big in life you can ask of me. Nothing. Because you will be with me all the way. I will worship you no matter what the cost, no matter what the calling in life, no matter what happens, I will worship you. Romans 12:1 also says that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to be holy. You know, God demands holiness from our lives. Living to please him in all we do and say. And I'm not going to spend much time there. Acceptable unto God. You know, that's a good gauge in our life. Would God approve of everything I do? Everything I think? Everything I say? Everywhere I go? Every heart motive? How I forgive my brother? How I respond to my wife? How I treat my husband? How I treat my children? How the children respect their parents? Would God approve of everything in your life? That's a good gauge of whether you're on the altar or not on the altar, as if it's acceptable unto the Lord. And it says it's just our reasonable service. You know, after all God has done for us, after all Jesus Christ has done for us, being a living sacrifice is only our reasonable service. Only our reasonable service. So a question I want to leave with you is, what's your response when God calls your name? Can you, like Abraham, say, behold, here I am? Or do you have something else to say?